overwhelmed with riches this time of year in these biblical texts. We're reading the first letter of John, and we're reading the Gospel of John. John is the one who has the greatest grace to expound for us the meaning of the Incarnation. Because he is the one who saw the relationship between the Father and the Son by a mystical understanding and talked about it in the preface to his gospel, which is the first 18 verses. And the Word became flesh. Now we start, that prologue ends at verse 18. We start today with verse 19. And we're going to go through now a series of witnesses describing who this Word made flesh is. The first one is today, the witness of John, as you just heard. Then we'll hear tomorrow, on the next day, and behold the Lamb of God. So these are going to be titles, and they're meant to lead us into an appreciation of who it is, about whom the gospel is going to be written. And they culminate day after day after day until we come to the one. And you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And we'll take a little time with that when we get there. Today, first we have the witness of John. Who are you? Are you, and he said, no, I'm not the Christ, the Messiah, HaMashiach, the Anointed One. I'm not. Well, then who are you? Are you the one sent to prepare his way, Elijah? No. Are you the prophet prophesied by Moses in Deuteronomy 18? The Lord will raise up for you, among you, from among your brothers, a prophet. Listen to him. Now, the text reading meant, as prophets come along from your own brethren, listen to them. But it was always understood that there is a prophet coming. Are you the prophet? No. So who are you? Then he has recourse to a verse which was current in the, this is a verse you find at Qumran. You see, it's this verse by which Isaiah, it's the way Isaiah opens up that chapter 40, right? Console, console my people, and so forth. And then a voice. Prepare in the way a wilderness, in the wilderness, a way for our God, because my people are going to come back. There's going to be a new Exodus, not just the one from Egypt, but the other one, as it says in Isaiah, so great that you'll forget the one from Exodus. This one will be much greater. And that's what they looked forward to. What happened when they went back, not everybody went. You know, I got my son, he's in third year at Babylon U. I don't want to go back right now, you know. And so only those who saw and loved and understood the role of the land went back. And they suffered. But they kept this voice, this, you know, this promise alive in them. So he says, I'm that one. Well, those are the people who are the priests and Levites from Jerusalem. And then John says, some Pharisees were also sent. They're laymen, a lot of them theologians, most of them moral theologians, if you will. How do you do all these things? They kept the law very strictly. They're the ones whose influence finally became so great that we have now rabbinic Judaism, which derives from them. So what they want to know, why do you baptize? What are you doing this for? What ritual is this? Now, there was a baptism for those who were coming from paganism into Judaism. It was called the proselyte baptism. It was part of the conversion rite and, you know, making the profession of faith, God, our this is Israel, you know, the Lord our God is one, and so forth. And for the males being circumcised. The females become Jews because they're married to males, or daughters of males. That gets changed when everybody gets baptized. Then everybody has equal access to being part of God's people. And that's what Paul talks about in Galatians. Huh? And now he tries to explain his right. You see, everybody has to go, this is a sign of conversion. I'm a Jew. I don't need to get proselyte baptism. Yeah, you're a Jew, but as John tells the people in Matthew, God can raise up from these stones Jews like this. If you're a Jew, let's see it. Let, you know, grab hold of God's will and live it. Prepare the world for the coming of the Messiah. Don't live like you're living now. And that was what this preparation was. It was this conversion to Judaism, conversion to being an Israelite, even though I'm born one. Not a little much different in a way than the Life in the Spirit seminar. You know, well, I've been a Catholic all my life, but I haven't done much about it. Now I want to get serious. Or the RCIA applied to a renewal of a parish, things like that. It's in that genre, if you will. And so they're coming, huh? So you're baptizing. I am, but there's one coming after me. Now the synoptics always put it, and we will have the second part of this later. You know, I baptize with water, but there's one coming after me that will baptize with spirit and fire. He's coming after me. I'm the last of the prophets. There's no more prophecy. He's here. And that's, so now we start the intimate intimation of the titles of Jesus, huh? I'm not worthy to untie his sandal strap. Remember already in the preface we have, he comes after me, but he ranks ahead of me because he already was before me. He already was before me. That's the first of his titles in John. Of this type, in the prologue. Think about that today. What does it mean, he was before me? Well, in the beginning was the Word. Whenever you place the beginning, creation, anything, wherever you put that, the Word already was. In fact, the whole universe was made through him. And he became flesh. And this is the one now that I'm going to tell you, try to give you insights as to who he is. Huh? And the first one is this, John the Great, the greatest prophet of Israel, says, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. That's the beginning of the revelation, as it's in the successive. On the next day, on the next day, on the next day, on the next day, and then on the third day, after all these next days, on the third day, there was a wedding feast at Cana. And then the explosion of revelation. The water of all that God had done for Israel becomes the wine of the gospel. But we'll be there.